baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. And I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goes?
In 12 years, I don't think your intro has ever scared me as much as it scared me just now.
Really?
Yeah. I think I had you up too high. And I'm wearing these different type of headphones that go right in your ears. Like, today you tried to scare me, and it was nothing compared to what you just did to me.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm cold right now.
Am I turned down, or?
No, you're good to go? Yeah, it was just scary. I just wasn't expecting it. Your intensity.
I don't know why a second ago I laughed like Chris Lieben as well.
I like Chris Lieben.
Me too. I like him a lot.
It's hard to not look at him, though, as a kid. You know, that's how we were sort of introduced to him.
Right.
And now he's a veteran.
Big time. A veteran in bare knuckle. Who knows if he'll ever have another fight in MMA, but I think he's kind of made his name a little bit in bare knuckle. I think his last fight did not go his way, but anyway. All right. Speaking of mixed martial arts, and you know what? Speaking of bare knuckle, maybe I'll throw him some love at the end because I think they have an event coming up. It's going to be a rematch of their biggest event ever in their short history. It's Loboff and Knight Part 2.
That was their Griffin Bonner.
It was. Yeah, and they're already running back. So here we go. On today's show, we'll obviously do a little preview of the UFC Sao Paulo card that's coming up with Jacare Souza moving up to light heavyweight to face Jan Blachowicz. We'll also talk about some of the latest news nuggets, some of the latest big news that's out there that you can find all over MMA Junkie. We'll give you our thoughts, react to it, as well as a lot of fight bookings that have been taking place one right after the other. The website was lighting up today. Really, really good matchups, and they're filling in 2020. We already know that rumored January 18th card here in Las Vegas, the one Conor McGregor kind of put out, but the UFC also announced two other cities that they're headed to that they haven't been to, I believe one ever, and the other one in a while. So that'll be good news when we tell you about that, the matchups themselves that was part of that announcement. So buckle up, folks. We'll be right back. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. So let's start with the news nuggets, Goes. The big stuff, obviously, is Jorge Masvidal. We're still a few weeks removed from the big win. You know, he won that BMF belt, $50,000 belt, when he defeated Nate Diaz via a doctor stoppage at the end of round three, beginning of round four. But that guy's been making the rounds, and he's still the hot item. Now you got the other half of the Diaz brothers kind of throwing his name out there. So let me tell you what happened. Nick Diaz did an interview on ESPN, and if you sift through a lot of rambling, that's a whole other topic for another show, by the way. But if you sift through all that, Nick Diaz, if there was a fight that might pull him out of retirement, Goes, it might be to avenge his baby brother's loss to Gamebred.
I couldn't understand. Well, I mean, it is the Diaz brothers, but some of Nick's points, the whole baptism thing, I've heard a lot worse trash talk in my life, but it really seemed to bother him.
Right.
And sometimes I don't really get them. I can't. This seems like it's something that's more personal that's pulling him out of his semi-retirement.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a money thing, but I don't know. I mean, who has fought Nate Diaz and not tried to get under Nate's skin? Like, Connor did a lot of that, and I don't really remember Nick saying, "Now you got to deal with me." It was just something about Jorge Masvidal and that comment in particular that really got him going. I didn't really understand it too much, though. You're an older brother. It would piss you off if somebody said, "I just baptized goes." It's just it's trash talk, right?
Yeah, he said exactly, "You want to talk about baptizing my younger brother? That's on you. I never had nothing disrespectful to say, but you don't talk about baptizing my younger brother." So you're already in a expletive position. Probably said fucked or something. "If you fight with me, you don't talk." Probably said expletive again. "Shit, probably here about baptizing someone's brother. That's my big brother. You don't talk like that to nobody." Yeah, I think one of the worst things you can say is like, "Man, I made him my bitch," or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you bring in the mama, he's knocked him out. His mama felt it, you know. But
something that's very personal.
That's not that bad. Now, if he said it, and let's say he said it and it became a meme or something, and it's something he has to hear over and over, then I guess. But I don't think I heard that making the rounds, you know. So
no.
I just think Nick's kind of tripping a little bit, or maybe that's just what he's grabbing onto if he's going to have a resurrection of his own to face Jorge Masvidal. The good thing is Nick is a welterweight. Jorge's in between lightweight and welterweight, but he's been competing and doing well as a welterweight. So that can happen. It's not like, oh, well, Nick's two weight classes above, mm-hmm, or nothing like that.
I'm curious.
That fight could happen. I could see them marketed, but I think I'm more concerned with I want to see Nick in better health than what I saw him.
Yeah, that didn't look too good. I'm more concerned with how does Nate Diaz respond to that? Because it's not like Nate was getting obliterated. I mean, I think he was getting dominated, but he wasn't getting obliterated, where I think if he had a couple issues going into the fight, I don't know, maybe I think I would look up at my older brother and go, "Hey, chill out. I got this. You know, I've been actually competing at a really high level here. I've had some pretty big fights. I'm not completely out. You know, I can get a rematch here and still defend. I don't really need you to come in and save the day here."
I would imagine that's correct. That's probably what he was thinking. This just did not look good. Now, I know Diaz hadn't done much media in the past few years other than quick TMZ catch-ups or whatever. But this was just, I don't know that much really came out of this. The only thing I can think of goes is if Nate's already been told, "Hey, man, we've danced around this long enough. You and Connor are next." Mm-hmm. So maybe Nate just figured, you can have that guy.
All right, that being said.
That's a good fight to pull you back in the game, but who knows?
Are you down with Nick Diaz being back in the UFC fighting Jorge Masvidal?
You know what goes? I would rather say something like this. "I want Nick Diaz to get healthy, and when he's ready to compete, let's do it." But God, man, he hasn't fought in 4 years. And I think it's going to be 5 by the time, if and when he fights. So, A, father time. B, I think he could actually benefit from training to get him out of the clubs and just get him something like a goal to strive for. You know what I mean? Plus, mm-hmm, within that interview, and I'm not going to recite the whole 40-plus minutes, he was hinting at times are tough financially, it sounds like. Sounds like the baby brother's doing well, but I don't know about the big brother.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of seems that way. It seems like just on the list of things for Nick Diaz to do, fighting doesn't seem like it should be at the top.
Put it this way. I don't think Nick is done, but I think this is the perfect fight to get him out of it, and maybe this will help him restore his life. Maybe now he'll have the money to go either get some form of therapy or just get good people around him that can, mm-hmm, rehabilitate him, his life. And here's the other thing, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but I'm talking about the partying. Who knows if there's some CTE that we were observing there as well. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people suffering from that.
Exactly. And Nick's one of those that didn't mind going tit for tat and throwing down. And I hope it's not that. And I just hope the guy was just drunk. But, you know, you hear the rumors of him partying in the clubs. And if it's that type of partying, if it's just him boozing it up or CTE or what if it's a mixture of everything. But that was not a good look. And I really like that guy, Goes. He was right about one thing. He was one of the original BMFs. He was probably of the more modern era, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. Quick reveal behind the curtain. Goz and I and Richard Hunter, you know, on another podcast, we discussed this a little bit. Who are some of the OGs? We went back all the way to Tank Abbott and Hoist Gracie, but I'm sure we'll slowly get to a more modern era, and I think I may agree with Nick.
Yeah. Did you like Jorge Masvidal's response to all this?
He did. He told him, so does this guy want to go for a walk? Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, does he want to go for a walk or does he want to fight? Which was pretty funny because that's what Nick was saying was, like, you know, if you want to go for a walk, then let's do this. But I've never really heard anyone say that other than Brad Tavares, UFC middleweight, once told us that at a club. Somebody was bugging him and he said, hey, you want to go take a look at my truck, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess
you like the cartoon thing
that,
too?
That's a process of going to go for a walk. No, I didn't see that.
It was from Scarface when, you know, F the Diaz brother.
Oh, that was funny.
That
yeah.
was pretty funny too.
That was pretty funny. You got to believe he was holding on to that one for the right time.
Yeah. So my question is this. Mm-hmm. When you introduced Jorge Masvidal, you said a star. Where is he though? Is he a superstar? Is he a megastar with this win over Nate?
He did an interview with Dan Le Batard. And
they're good buddies.
Dan revealed that I think they're recent buddies. I think a lot of people are latching on to Jorge as of late.
I mean, he's been on there before.
Not as much
just
as he has
he's
in the
a
last
Florida guy.
Yeah,
know?
Not as much
but
as
lately,
he has in the last year. Yeah, Stu Gatz walked him out to the the weigh-in.
Stu Gatz hilarious.
Forgot what I was going to say now.
If he's a superstar, megastar.
Oh, so in that interview, it was revealed that he was able to negotiate points from pay-per-views without being a champion. And there's not many fighters that can do that, but apparently he's one. Now, he may only get 25 cents a pay-per-view. He may get a dollar, you know. Connor may get 10. So I'm sure the level of star power that you have, the more you're able to negotiate it. Sometimes the UFC will tell you, we'll give you 25 cents for every pay-per-view that you sell. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll tell you, we'll give you a dollar, but we got to reach 200 first. So there's many different ways that they can manipulate that. But the fact that they're at least talking to him about that, that's a good thing.
Did it have anything to do with the BMF belt at all?
I think it had to do with this.
In the equation, could he have still gotten points? Because that's a big thing. That's a really, really big thing if he was able to do that.
This was able to cinch it because he got – okay, let's back up a little bit here. He beat Till. That was massive. Mm-hmm. But then he lit up Askren, and that was huge. And he came to our studio two or three days afterwards, and he said that he was really happy because he had had a renegotiation. Him and Ibrahim Kawa were kind of like, you know, saying the future looks bright and things like that. But that Diaz fight hadn't been made yet. When Diaz won and then called out Jorge, then we had a little bit of the BMF, and that whole the whole history, I think, started in Anaheim, California. I might be wrong. Maybe they forecasted, hey, how about if the winner of Pettis and Diaz, you get him, we'll create this BMF. But I don't think I think that was birthed in Anaheim. So he probably was just able to do something there. And then when it came time to him actually headlining Madison Square Garden, they were able to institute it. And
that's
push
a game
that
changer.
Sure is, yeah. And the fact that he revealed it, I mean, now others are going to pay attention. Moving on. Demetrius Johnson, when he defeated Danny Kingad, he, you know, that was that big fight card they had in Japan, one championship, 100 century. He was crowned the king of the promotion's flyweight Grand Prix tournament. He's not their champ per se, but he won the Grand Prix. Did you know he brought a belt that was so big he had problems with customs?
Yeah, that belt. I mean, when you look at it, it was pretty big. It was massive. It almost looked like boxers what they wear. Those supporters. I mean, it's gigantic. But, I mean, you look at it and you go, man, that's nothing but a belt.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. I think it was probably more unjust. But he did say that he's more proud. He likes that belt more than any of the 10 or 11 he had with the UFC. He just likes the style of it. He doesn't say he hates the others. He just says this is his favorite one.
He's got to wear a backpack with rocks in it, though, to keep him from falling over. That thing's huge.
It sure was. And by the way, Rich Franklin, if you go on MMA Junkie, he argues that ONE Championship is very satisfied with the trade where they got Demetrius Johnson and UFC got Ben Askren.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think both sides are kind of happy.
Mm-hmm. How about this, Goz? Not to bring politics into anything, but did you see that an anti-Trump protester was subdued by MMA veteran Tara LaRosa during a rally out in Portland.
Yeah.
And at first, see, I think I follow Tara. I've seen her before on social media, and she's piping up, man. She wears that MAGA hat, right? So I thought, oh, okay, this chick was probably out there looking for it. But actually, if you watch the video, she subdued's the perfect word. Like, she didn't really tackle her or anything. She subdued her, tried to hold her down, tried to calm the girl down. And actually, in this instance, she kind of came to the rescue of that protester and somebody else from LaRosa's group getting into it.
She got bit, right, in the process?
Yeah.
That looked pretty nasty. And sure that was through clothes and everything, so, ugh.
Yeah, so I'm glad I read the article, because if I just would have read the headline, I would have thought, what is this chick doing? Mm-hmm. Hey, here's another quick one, goes, and we're kind of bouncing around here with the news nuggets. We'll get into the Saturday's card in Sao Paulo for sure. We'll get into some of the big fight bookings that have taken place. But here's another thing that I loved it, and it was just reading the title. So this weekend, there's Bellator 234. They're out in Israel, and Linton Vassell is facing Sergey Karatanov in the main event. Linton Vassell dismisses the skid that he's on. You know what he said? And he kept it so simple. He goes, you can't just give up. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. Like, those five words, any other fighter that's like on a two-fight streak or more, I think if I was a coach, I would just tell him, well, what do you plan on doing? Because if you're not retiring, you can't just give up. We got to train. We got to get back in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can point to Jorge Masvidal. Again, we'll use him as an example. You know, prior to Till, one of his worst performances ever was the Stephen Thompson fight that he had. And he's also been the victim of a lot of split decision losses. But this guy just decided to not give up, became more of an aggressor, and that was all in like 18 months, that transformation for Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, Linton's one of the staple Bellator guys. Anytime you need him, he's there. He
got heavyweight too.
Yeah, he'll do anything, anytime, any place. He usually does enough, I think, to stick around. I mean, he's a company guy, and anytime we've ever interviewed him, he seems like a pretty cool guy. But that, a lot of fighters have been saying a lot of refreshing things lately, and that was one that caught my eye.
I loved it, man. You can't just give up. You just got to go out there. Yeah, and Masvidal's losses were to Thompson and Maya, so he didn't give up, and look at the run he's on right now. And good for Linton Vassell. Now, that said, goes, I got Sergey Karatanov as a centerpiece in one of my parlays this weekend. I just think he's too big, man. I like Vassell. A lot of heart, but he's a light heavyweight, and Karatanov's actually a really good heavyweight.
It's tough because Karatanov, the way he came in, didn't look too well. So it made you think, all right, is it time for this guy to go? But since then, he's looked pretty good. So, yeah, I'd have to agree on this one.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's come back, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the big fight bookings that were revealed in these last 24, 48 hours, which not only did we find out about the fight booking, we found out about two cities that the UFC will be visiting in 2020. All right, guys. So, I love the fact that, you know, the UFC's got this big roster and they forecast so far ahead that one can prepare adequately and get, you know, a good economical flight and hotel and make plans. And so, listen, man, January 18th, the UFC's coming here to Las Vegas, which is cool because we get the end of the year card, which is not really the end of the year. This year it comes to 2 weeks early, December 14th here in Las Vegas. That's it. The UFC, I think, goes to South Korea after that with Korean Zombie and Ortega. But that traditional end of the year, you know, I mean, like, we actually have a free weekend, goes, finally, you know what I mean, where we don't have to worry about everything else.
We usually call it, like, the Super Bowl card, right?
Exactly. No, that was the end of the year card.
Yeah.
Like, end the year's Eve card, yeah. So now, on the 18th, they come back here to Vegas, and it's already been revealed the UFC is going to rally North Carolina. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that. I think it's Raleigh. Yeah, Raleigh, North Carolina. And they have a main event booked of Curtis Blaydes versus Junior Dos Santos. First of all, that's a really quality main event. And good for Junior Dos Santos to bounce back from that infection.
I mean, it's one of those territories where the UFC just doesn't go that often. So I think if you're a local, you pray for a good main event, and then you just buy your ticket. There's certain markets where they come enough, like New York, say, where I think you kind of got to see a couple fights before you go, I'm going to spend my money here, because you know eventually somebody else is going to, either PFL is going to show up, or Bellator, or the UFC will just be back again in a few months. But I think if you live out in Raleigh, I think you just buy your ticket regardless and just hope for a good night.
You're saying people should rally and go to Raleigh?
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what else? Guess who else is going there?
Who?
Frankie Edgar versus Corey Sandhagen. How can you not love that one? That's like a co.
That's going to be everywhere,
that's
right?
Two co-main events in a way. You know what I mean? I mean, like, no,
I argue that it's better than the main event.
I know. I was about to say the same thing. I don't want to get them big guys pissed at me. But this is Edgar's debut as a bantamweight. And Sandhagen is a G at bantamweight. Mm-hmm. Up and coming. So, true test for Sandhagen. And maybe, now I don't want to say a final run for Edgar, but where will he find himself if he loses? Because everybody always felt like this was his natural weight class. Wait till he gets there.
Yeah. It's hard to say because he was just so competitive everywhere else. Everywhere else he goes, he's a nightmare matchup for a lot of people. But I would have liked this to happen a little sooner, a couple years ago, you know, and see really what he's got here. But the dude, he's very disciplined. So I don't see him have any problems with the weight cut or nothing. I think he's going to be even faster, more explosive. So it'll be fun to see what we get out of Frankie Edgar here.
Yeah, and then this one's kind of special to you and I, goes. It's not like we know the guy well, but there's a guy named Nate Landwehr who fought for M1 for many years. He's a country kid, man. He's got that accent. He's got some swag. He talks some smack. He became an M1 champ, and he loved coming on our show, and we loved having him. And he finally got into the UFC, goes, so he'll be facing Herbert Burns. And let's see, this is his time to step up and shine. You know what I mean? Something he always wanted.
I wish we could sit down and talk to the matchmakers and just ask them, what do you guys think of it? Like, what is it you're trying to do with signing this kid? Because he's just very charismatic. And if you can promote him properly, I think he'd be a lot of fun. Like, he reminds me a lot of, like, Jason Knight, right? Hick Diaz.
Right.
For a while, he just had this run where everybody wanted to hear his interviews. Everybody wanted to watch him fight. And things didn't really work out, but you kind of had a little bit of a star for a short period of time. And I think you could maybe do that with Nate. And who knows? Maybe Nate shocks everyone and actually keeps it going. But the kid's very charismatic. I think they can get something out of him.
But something about the South, you know, and I don't want to group people all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely don't want to stereotype. But you know how when Donald Cerrone just has the hat?
Yeah.
If you're in the arena and you've never watched MMA, what do you say? Hey, that's my guy. You know what I mean? If you're anywhere from the South,
you
or you love
accent,
country music, or his walkout song, you're like, that's my guy. You know who else has a little bit of that too? Andrea Lee. You know what I mean? So it's not like it has anything to do with Mississippi or New Orleans, but he's just the guy that when you see him and you listen to him, you could tell he's from the South. So now that said, I don't want him to walk out with a Confederate flag or nothing like that. But if he can just say, hey, I'm a Southern kid or whatever and talk it up, I think he could be a big star. He's from Tennessee, to be exact.
That's how a corn-fed hillbilly gets down?
Yeah, exactly.
Who said that?
Eddie Wineland.
Eddie Wineland, yeah.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
And he's actually born on, or he actually lives on property that's got a lot of corn, right? It's, I think his neighbor raises it, and so
he helps out.
He was actually pretty serious about it, yeah. Speaking of Andrea Lee, she's facing Lauren Murphy on February 8th, and the UFC's going back to Houston, goes.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know when the last time they were there, but that's where Gilbert fought Diego, right?
Yeah, I think that was UFC 137. I think they've been there since then for sure, but they don't go there that often.
No. And it seemed like when they were there, they've had good crowds. So, I mean, Houston's popping.
Yeah, it's a quality fight.
I don't see why they don't go there more often.
I agree. Also on that fight card is Ovince St. Preux versus Ryan Spann. Spann looked really good in his last fight. So this is another guy that's climbing up versus a guy like Ovince St. Preux, who's got like over 20 fights in the UFC. I think he's at 23 or somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, OSP's a little bit older now. He's that crafty veteran.
OSP reminds
roles me are reversed.
Of a guy that we just finished talking about, and that's Linton Vassell, in the sense that when you put him in a matchup, by no means is the guy on the other side going, I'm going to be okay here. This should be fine. Like, he's sitting there going, man, I got to fight this dude. OSP's that guy. When he shows up, you feel like he could beat just about anyone. But when he doesn't, you're like, oh, man, what happened in this particular fight? It's just a lot of ups and downs with OSP. But you run out of time eventually, you know, and you have to be able to put together some sort of streak to get you back up on top, and that's what OSP needs to do right now.
This is a big fight for OSP.
Very big.
Because recently, I think it was this week, Gilbert Melendez was released from the UFC. He's a guy that came over from Strikeforce. He didn't have the best run. He was like 1-5 in the UFC, but he was a big name prior to the UFC. He fought. He went straight into a title shot with Benson Henderson and lost a split decision.
A lot of people thought he won.
So he was right there, you know. But he's done well for himself with ESPN. I think the UFC really respects him. And it was just time to really, really move on. I'm just surprised it took so long because his last loss was a few months ago, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, what took so long for that decision? You know what I mean? But I think getting back to OSP, I think he could find himself. And not just him. A few of those guys can find themselves in that type of a position. They just you just have to win after a while.
Yeah, Gilbert Melendez, his goodbye speech was kind of bittersweet in a way. It was really weird because it was very respectful, but at the same time, I felt like he threw a little bit of shade. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, with the UFC, you're basically told where to fill in. If you're not a needle mover or a champion, you know, you can't really dictate, like, hey, I'd love the headline in my adopted town of Santa Ana or San Jose or San Francisco or whatever. They kind of tell you, hey, bro, it's you versus fill in the blank in Raleigh. You know, you're like, oh, fuck. You know, I got to travel all the way across the country and go there, but you don't have much say, you know. And I don't know that I can blame the UFC on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, because of the run he's on, you know what I mean? Now, when he came over, I think Gilbert had it nice. He was able to negotiate some really, really nice contracts.
One of the best contracts.
Exactly. And he did it over and over. So, I you know, that's just kind of the way it worked out. It sucks. We've known Gilbert for a long time, but I think just the fact that his run wasn't, you know, the best run, his name value, his star value, I think it's slowly just
Bellator
took levels, you know, downward or whatever, and the UFC just couldn't book him anymore in these key spots. Bellator, yeah.
I don't say that. I'm not trying to disrespect Bellator or anything. I'm just saying because he has ties to Scott Coker.
They're set in San Jose. That's, you know, that's their home. That's their home. Thompson's there, and if they're ever going to do one more, you know, I'm sure that one could be something, you know, like along the lines of Gracie and Sakuraba or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I'm not saying, hey, immediately, let's do it. But I think that's just where he'll wind up. But he has fought in Japan. You never know. Maybe Sakuraba runs Ryzen. Maybe he could head that way, too.
Never know.
Yeah, options, baby. All right, another matchup here. Roxanne Modafferi versus Macy Barber. They're headed to UFC, 246 here in Las Vegas. I kind of went backwards there. I apologize. We had gone from January 25th in Raleigh to February 8th in Houston. But now this one's on January 18th, and so far they have Nasrat Haqparast versus Drew Dober, Chaz Skelly versus Grant Dawson, Macy Barber versus Roxanne Modafferi. Anybody that's listening might go, okay, George, big deal. You know, these aren't the biggest names. Okay, I got you. But don't forget, this is the one where Connor really, really wants to come back. So you know they're going to build this bad boy up soon. They're kind of filling up the bottom part, I think, first. And I think slowly they'll creep up and start really throwing in maybe a champion or two to defend. Unless it is just Connor, which he can definitely carry a pay-per-view. But look for this one to be big.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, yeah, those are decent matchups, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're just trying to build it up a little bit. And usually when they start that way, I think is when you get hit with something pretty huge.
I know Barber's got a lot of promise, so I probably shouldn't make it sound like she'll be towards the bottom of the card. I could see her being on the main card. And I'll tell you why it goes, because there's a lot of promise on Barber. But Roxanne Modafferi, win or lose, she fucking fights.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exciting.
And
she'll
get the crowd going. So I can see that being the opening fight to that card on the main card or maybe even the second one. But I definitely see that happening. A little bit of bad news. Carlos Condit had to pull himself from ESPN 7. He was going to face Mickey Gall. So we don't know how severe his injury might be. But I don't know if there's in time. There should be some time for someone to slip in on December 7th.
Yeah, I saw like 3 weeks Curtis Millender was throwing his name out there. There's a few people online that wanted that fight.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, boy, the Condit almost fills that same group of OSP and Gilbert Melendez where he probably needed to beat Gall on that occasion, you know, or maybe he was. I mean, he's kind of almost shown himself the door But, you know, when you don't show yourself the door and the UFC's forced to make a decision, that's the type of fight you need to win.
Do you know what the kind of ties that all these guys have that you're bringing up? That's kind of like, you want me to just say it or you want to?
Well, I was saying Condit came from the WEC. Gilbert came from Pride and Strikeforce. OSP came from Strikeforce. So I don't see the tie.
That's what I'm getting at. So that's kind of like the end of, starting to be the end of the run of some of those guys, right? Like Shogun with Gilbert gone.
Right.
That's like the last Pride dude, right? And Carlos Condit, WEC, there's not as many as we think. Like you look at it, there's not that many left on the roster. And same with the Strikeforce guys are starting to fall away. Those are some good times, man.
Yeah. In fact, we'll segue to that in just a second. But remember, folks, that fight card, that's the one that has a rumor of Conor McGregor. Hey, some love for LFA. They made a deal with the UFC Fight Pass. It includes their full library, 46 live events. And they'll be debuting pretty soon, if I'm not mistaken. The next one is like LFA 79 on November 22nd in Broomfield, Colorado. So mm-hmm. It was good that they found a home because arguably they were the leading regional promotion. And I know they don't like to hear that because they travel enough that you can't really say they're regional. But, you know, it's just the easiest way to like break down the level that they, Titan, CFFC, that, you know, the doors that those organizations are on. So really it is a quality organization. And they have had a lot of fighters come through their banner. So happy for Ed Soares and the gang. One other story here goes, and then we'll look at Sao Paulo. What is going on with Fury and Miocic? Miocic and Fury, you know, they're answering each other. Ngannou and Fury, Fury and Ngannou. Doesn't Fury know that he had an awesome fight versus Wilder? A, he's got to get to that dance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there's still the whole winner of Ruiz versus Joshua. Like, they have this fearsome foursome in boxing. Worry about that. You already went and had your fun with Braun Strowman at WWE, but you don't want any of this in MMA, Tyson. You know? And just as much as I don't want to send Ngannou and Miocic that way. I'm not saying that either. But, dude, you got some fights, some boxing fights that are awaiting you.
How do you not respond to those things, though? I honestly think he does it, and he's kind of laughing his ass off as he's doing it. It puts his name out there. You mentioned Dan Le Batard. Like, he keeps talking about it. Like, people just talk about it. I think he is focused on his boxing career, but I think it's fun to throw that stuff out.
Yeah, but, you know, WrestleMania is coming right.
Even Masvidal kind of threw his name out there, too, for boxing.
WrestleMania is coming around the corner, too, mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where those crossovers fights can happen or people make appearances, you know what I mean? So I bet you we'll be hearing a little bit more of that. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, I wanted to see an immediate rematch of Wilder Fury. It was a great fight. So the fact that we're doing it, yeah, exactly. It's a bit much. All right. Let's turn the page and talk a little bit about UFC Sao Paulo. All right, so this Saturday they're in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Your headliner that night is Jan Blachowicz versus Ronaldo Souza. Souza is a middleweight who has now gone up to light heavyweight. The co-main event features Mauricio Shogun-Hua versus Paul Craig, Charles Oliveira versus Jared Gordon, Antonio Arroyo versus Andre Muniz, and Marcus Perez versus Wellington Turman. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a drop-off here. It's a UFC on ESPN Plus card. But when they go to Brazil, it's usually pretty special one way or another. And there's still some good names down below on the prelims. And remember, it's all on ESPN Plus, so it's not like, you know, they're separating it in any way. They're just calling the top five fights main card, and the other ones are prelims. But James Krause's fighting goes. Francisco Trinaldo, Bobby Green, Warley Alves. You know what I mean? So they got a... There's reasons to pay attention pretty much for the whole entire duration of the card.
Mm-hmm. The other day, John Morgan was in here, and we were rapping a little bit about how difficult sometimes our staff picks can be just because of the different eras that some of our staff live through. You know, you see some of the younger people like Nolan and Farah, and then there's us, kind of the old fogies. And sometimes it's just so easy to go, give me Shogun. Because we just remember the Shogun of Pride.
Right.
But really, when it comes down to Blachowicz is kind of just, he should win that fight.
So is it, like, is it something similar to like when Mark Coleman fought Stephen Bonner, and we're like, look at this old dude trying to mix it up with Bonner or whatever.
Maybe.
And, and Coleman actually wound up winning, but yeah, I understand that. So that might be what the younger people are thinking, like, look at this old fool.
Maybe.
Shogun, not knowing that the killer that he was.
Yeah, and then the thing is, like, Shogun, regardless, is he's the type of fighter that, yeah, even if he didn't have a good training camp or whatever, he's still dangerous.
Yeah.
But we kind of had to detach ourselves a little bit from some of that stuff. And I ended up going with Blachowicz in this one.
You were right when you mentioned earlier that who was one of the last of the remaining Pride guys. I got names here of some fighters that once fought for Pride. I don't know that you can go, that was a Pride guy. But as long as they fought there and as long as they're in the UFC, I think they qualify for this bit.
Yeah.
Can you name them?
Somebody that just had like a one-off?
One-offs count, yeah.
That's still fighting right now in the UFC. On the UFC roster?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, Nick Diaz would be one of them.
That's correct. He fought Takanori Gomi.
Alistair Overeem is... I think he's kind of
he's a Pride guy. He's a Pride guy.
Verdum is still on the roster. So
and I think he was a Pride guy. That's how we got to know him. He did win a UFC title, and he was a beast over at Strikeforce. That's where he beat Fedor. But we first knew him as a Pride guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple more. Let me just fill him in.
Go ahead.
Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
He actually had a 3-2 Pride record. That's when he walked out like Michael Jackson. And then the only other ones were Little Nog, who's still not retired, by the way. He was 8-2 in Pride. That was Rodrigo Nogueira's twin brother, except he fights as a light heavyweight, and Rodrigo was a heavyweight. And then Robbie Lawler probably would have been one that can trip someone up.
Joey
he fought Joey Villasenor. Didn't he have a flying knee, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knocked his tooth out.
So he technically goes down as a Pride guy. It was only 1-0, but, you know, for the purposes of this. And technically, Nick Diaz was 0-0 because he tested positive, so it was a no contest.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, we saw it, so we certainly can't forget it. A little bit of trivia there.
It's one of the greatest fights I've ever seen in person.
Yeah. And speaking of trivia, how about that Charles Oliveira? I mentioned he's in the featured bout, third one from the top. And, dude, that guy has... He's up there as far as finishes. Did you see Mike Bond had released some stats? He's got 14 stoppages in the UFC.
Jesus.
Goes. A lot of people would be happy to have 14 fights. A lot of people would be happy to have 14 wins and then to have 14 stoppages.
Mm-hmm.
He's only two behind Cerrone, I believe, and Cerrone's the record holder. Now, most of them are submission. I think 13 of them are, but he's a killer.
Yeah, no, that's legit.
Yeah. And so, give me your thoughts on who gets it done between Blachowicz and
Shogun?
Jacare. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's another reason why that topic had come up. You see names like that, and for me, I ended up going with Blachowicz. I always go Jacare almost in every fight. I can't even really think of a fight that I've picked against him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that ground game, he shored up some wrestling into it, some striking. He's a pretty complete fighter, but it just looks like he's slowed down in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same guy we remember.
Yeah. How about Shogun? Well, I'm with you. I'm going with Blachowicz as well. I think Jacare's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not elite status anymore. And going up, he's going up against one of the guys that's quietly been 5-1 in his last 6 fights.
Yeah.
Remember how nice of a guy he was here at Goes in Las Vegas?
He's super cool.
Yeah, but...
A little bit of a gangster, too.
I know Dominic Reyes, he's undefeated. He deserves to get that John Jones fight. You know how there's a lot of love for Corey Anderson? Blachowicz is on just as impressive of a run as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, look for him, if he wins, to just be in that talk. You know what I mean? But I'm taking Blachowicz, and what about in Shogun and Paul Craig?
I ended up going I don't remember who I picked, but I want to say I may end up going with Paul Craig on this.
Really?
Spot. Yeah.
I went with Shogun. I think he still rises to the occasion, but he takes a beating along the way. Somehow he just pulls it off, man. He really, really does rise to the occasion. I mean, he's got some good striking. Look, before he starts to fade, when he throws strikes, he's pretty impressive.
If you told me the best Shogun showing up, against the best Paul Craig, give me the best Shogun. But it's just, it's so tough. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, we're years removed from that one, but he still goes out there and fights and does well. And I'm going to skip a little bit here. There's just one I'm keeping an eye on. Bobby Green and Francisco Trinaldo. These guys have put in time into the sport. Mm-hmm. Bobby Green, we saw at Affliction, for crying out loud. And no. Who hasn't Trinaldo fought? Who do you like in this one?
Trinaldo's such a big dude, man. I think I'd have to go with Francisco Trinaldo on this one. Bobby Green hasn't been as active as I think you need to be at that level.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the OG from SoCal. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't fought much. Six fights since 2014, November. 5-4-1 in the UFC. Done well for himself there. But the key stat for me is Trinaldo's now 41. And when you're one of the lighter weight guys, usually your speed and timing is what goes. The heavyweights, they can withstand that, but not these guys. All right, folks. So listen, keep an eye on UFC Fight Night, Blachowicz versus Jacare. You'll also hear it as on ESPN 22. You know we got you locked up on MMA Junkie. Tons of coverage that is going to come your way on Saturday. And some really, really good fights. Like Warley Alves versus Randy Brown. Former champ Hendon Barão, he's on the card, goes against Douglas Silva de Andrade. The ladies will mix it up. Ariane Lipsky versus Veronica Macedo. So really, really a lot is packed into this card. Any final thoughts here before we get the hell out?
I mean, I just hope it's kind of like Russia. You know, Russia was a little bit under the radar, but every fight was great. If we can get another one of those, man, we're going to have some good momentum. And then it's all about the card here in Vegas. That's what I'm looking forward to.
And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who sent a nice message over our 3,000 show that we did a few days ago, whether it was on Twitter or Instagram, Facebook. We tried to look at them all and respond. And if not, then this is our response here. Thank you so much to anybody that's listened to, whether it's been one show or all 3,000. And believe me, I think there's a few out there that have actually done that. Your support means the world to us. So thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. We'll talk to you on another occasion. So go out there and be a champion.